Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12. Chapter 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Let's pray together. Father, we come this morning and thank you, your precious. Help us, please. We look into this, Lord, an attitude, Lord, that can help our outlook. Lord, what you, I pray that, please, adjust our, Lord, help us our priority to match, Lord, why you saved. And then, Lord, I just ask that, help me, help my mind. I pray, please, strengthen. We ask for a seat there. As you look at Hebrews 12, when you read verse 1, it talks about laying aside weights and sins because we're in a race. And you could, you know, I've never taught this chapter from this angle, but this is the way I'm approaching it. Chapter 12 says we're in a race, so the rest of the chapter is telling you how to run for the Lord. It likens the Christian life to a marathon. We're not in a sprint. We're in a long race run. And if we're going to make it, there's some things that have to take place. Number one, looking unto Jesus, you need to have the right goal. That's all up there. We've covered that a little bit, and we've looked at it. As far as I'm in a race as a Christian, when God saved you, he put you in a race. Now, just because you're in the race doesn't mean you have to run. You'll notice in the race, if you'll look around at other people who've been saved, some are walking, some are standing, some are running the opposite direction. Amen? But when we're done with this race, it says in 1 Corinthians, we're going to get a prize. You will be rewarded for how you... So you should want to do your best. Jesus set the standard, right? He saved us. What would you... Somebody that died for you, right? So here we are. We've looked at looking unto Jesus. Don't quit in your mind. It says this earlier. I think it's verse number three, lest you faint in your minds. You've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Then verses 5 through 11 are about understanding, since you're in a race, you need to understand God's correction, God's chastisement. God never punishes you. Your sin was punished on Calvary, but God never strikes out in anger at you. Everything God does after you get saved is for your betterment, to help you with him. In other words, and it's likened to a father, but there's some Christians, they don't understand that. Every time something bad happens, what do? The first thing is, well, God's mad at me. How many times? I've heard that a lot. Your thinking is supposed to be different, and Hebrews 12 is saying you're in a race. And if you're going to keep running for the Lord, you need to understand some things. And verses 5 through 11 says you need to understand the chastisement of the Lord. You will not be saved very long before God has to spank steer you, right? Those who don't understand that end up quitting, right? Well, before I got saved, I didn't have these problems. Now, since I've been saved, their concept is not God's trying to do something to me. Instead, what you're supposed to be thinking of, God, we're in a journey and God wants to make you more like him, less like you. There's things in your life God wants to knock out because it doesn't remind others, right? So God's working at shaping us so that we're more like Jesus. We're in a race if we're going to finish. We finished verse 11 a couple of weeks ago. When you look at verse 12, it starts with the word wherefore. In other words, because of everything that was taught from verses 1 to 11, you're in a race, looking unto Jesus and understanding chastisement. Because of that, then start verse 12. Ready? Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. So God tells us there's three things as we're running to be looking for in each other. I thought this was interesting because normally, you know, I've preached a message called the Christian life is not a team sport. You don't read your Bible as a group. You don't pray as a group. You don't face temptation. Your walk with the Lord is you and the Lord. But we come together as a church to encourage one another, and your presence here does encourage somebody else. Wow, I tried this week and they're here and they're here. No, your presence, we encourage one another as we try to obey the Lord, right? Now, I thought it was interesting, since we're all in a race, We're all supposed to be looking at each to see if any of us is hurting. Wherefore, lifting up the hand, let's say verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. Yeah, okay. What? Normally, you run this way, right? With your arms, right? You ever seen somebody really tired? Their arms are hanging down. To me, that's the expression of God says, you need to be looking. See, when you come to church, you say, well, that's looking to find fault in other people. Christians are tired, and they don't know if they can keep on going because they're not running. They always say, if you don't breathe right, you're eventually going to tire down, and you're going to lose your rhythm, and you're eventually going to stop. So isn't it interesting, wherefore, since we're all in a race, when you find someone who's tired, and the next one says, we're supposed to be looking for three things when we come to church, the tired and the crippled, okay, the lame, okay? I want to touch on those this morning, but I got to make sure the attitude's right. When we come to church, we're supposed to edify one another and love one another and encourage one another. And if this attitude is right, if I see you have a bad day, you say, well, you're supposed to because you're the pastor. But wait a second. If you love somebody like you're supposed to in the Lord, then you want them happy and you notice when they're not. I can tell when people have had a bad day. I can tell when people are struggling. I think I'm supposed to do that, but I do think this is interesting. This isn't written to the pastor. When you come to church, we're supposed to be looking for weaknesses, not to hit each other or criticize, but to do what? Read the exactly why. Look at the last verse. Look at the last phrase in verse 13. But let it rather be what? Healed. They say if Christians aren't careful, we're the only ones that kill our wounds. So we'll find somebody that's struggling. Now, you can't help somebody that doesn't want help. If they want you out of their life and they want you to leave them alone, God doesn't help people that doesn't want help. But the other opposite end of that is this. If you find somebody that's struggling, probably the last thing they need is your sermon. But if you do find somebody's hurting, scared, and weak, and having a hard time, you couldn't encourage them with, hey, I'm praying for you, right? Hey, if you know, I got the most heart-touching letter after I got out of the hospital. It was from a person at another church. I've never met them. And it meant so much to me. And a lot of you were so sweet. But this one letter said, I've lifted you up in prayer every day for the past. And they said, if you know, I want you. I wrote that person back. I've never met him before. To this day, I haven't. I said, please pray for recovery. All of that. But aren't those supposed to be sweet words? Not, don't do this. Well, hey, you're struggling with sin, huh? Man, you look really backslid. My goodness. Can I help? Okay, don't be a dork. Amen. And I don't know anybody in our church today. I just think it's interesting. The spirit of the passage is this. We're all running. And while we're running, the first thing we're supposed to be looking for is arms that are hanging down. They're not running like they're enjoying the race. They're tired. Why would a Christian be tired? I want to look at this morning looking. How can you tell when somebody is tired, or what's the next category? Next category, weak, and the last category is crippled. Okay, let's think about this just for a second. First of all, Proverbs 13:15 says the way of transgressors is hard. I just wrote down some thoughts as far as thinking through the Bible. How come you could be a tired Christian not enjoying the race? If you are playing with sin, it makes you tired. You lose the joy of the Lord. You lose your focus. And aren't you glad you can't lose your salvation? Amen. Aren't you glad, right? Once saved, always saved, if saved. Aren't you glad? But if you're toying with sin, you're going to get exhausted. You're going to get tired. You're not going to enjoy the race. The way of transgressors, Proverbs 13:15, is hard. Why would somebody be tired? God says in Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing. And God says, I couldn't help but think, well, they lose sight of Jesus. If you lose your love for the Lord, you get tired. You'll get exhausted. You won't enjoy church. You won't enjoy the race. You'll endure it. And then you just can't wait for it to be finished because God doesn't have any. He could, but how come somebody would be, don't know how much more of this I can keep on going. Normally when I get tired and I'm running, everybody, you know, there's times when you run, I hate it. I hate not being able to catch my breath. But I always think this, should I stop, right? If I'm breathing super hard, should I stop? Should I just stop? If you lose sight of the Lord, there as we labor together, once you get saved, as we come to church together, as we serve the Lord together, there's going to be times of chastisement. There's going to be times where everybody struggles. If you're gonna stay in church long and you're not gonna be a church hopper, you have to allow people tired for whatever reason. I'm gonna list several, but every one of us gets backslidden from time to time. Not me. I'm right with God all the time. Right. What, you've been saved a week? You know what I mean? No. Every one of us is going to have times. Your patience with everybody else. You say, well, you're supposed to be patient because you're the pastor. If you're going to stay in church long enough, you have to be patient. In other words, how about this? The word forgive. To do it beforehand. Give. Forgive. To give beforehand. You know what the word forgive means? I expect you to fail me, and I've got forgiveness ready for you for when it happens. What happens when people get disappointed in church? Oh, I'm shocked that they did it. God's not shocked. God was never shocked at your sin. He knew you were going to sin before you sinned. To properly forgive is me to say, I expect you to fail me someday. And when you do, I have forgiveness ready. Isn't that interesting? See, where people, I promise, I've watched people leave church. Oh, they hurt me. You thought you would go through the Christian life and nobody would ever misunderstand. You'd never have a misunderstanding. You thought nobody would ever lie to you. You really thought that. What world are you living in? This is such reality. If I'm going to be your pastor for a long time, there'll be some time you can't spend time together week after week after week and not come across things that the devil could get a pry bar in and work and wedge and chink. Forgiveness says, I expect you do. I show you I love you. It will happen. And when it does, that's crazy, right? You say, well, you're supposed to do that because you're a pastor. Wait a second. God says, lift up the hands that hang down. Look for people that are tired so that they can healed, not beat to death by you with their own faults, right? Why would somebody, I think people get tired when they lose the sight of the Lord. I think they're not steadfast and consistent. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Well, sometimes they're not. I'm not always abounding. Is that okay if I'm tired? How about this? Go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Why would somebody, I'm just taking three thoughts this morning. We'll get to the next one here. Go to Matthew chapter 11. Why would somebody's arms hang down and they be tired? Look at verse 28, Matthew 11 and verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. There's a second time the word rest is. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why would somebody get tired? I'll tell you exactly why. Because they serve the Lord without Jesus. If you're serving the Lord right and Jesus is a part of what you're doing, since he lives inside of you, if you're saved, he gives you rest. Jesus doesn't stress anybody out. Jesus doesn't ever bring anybody to the point of a nervous breakdown. He doesn't work that way. He said he doesn't. He said, if you let me help you run, I'll give you rest. That lets me know anytime I get stressed out or fearful, God's not a part of what, and I need to back up and knock it off. It's a dangerous way to think. God doesn't lead you that way. If the Lord is part of what you're doing, see, it's amazing to me. Well, I'm praying about it. You're not. You're meditating on it and you're thinking about it over and over and over and over and over again, and you're telling God, but you're not asking God anything. You're not asking God to help you. You're just telling God, I got this and Lord, this and God, this is happening and this is. There's a difference. You haven't prayed until you've asked the Lord. And Jesus said, "If you'll let me, I can give rest your soul." He's the only one that can speak to the storm and say, "Peace, be still." And when everybody else is losing it, I can have peace, have rest. Why do people get tired? I think they forget. And our life is hectic. It can be pretty fast paced. You forget the Lord. When you forget him, you're eventually going to start running like, going on church week after week. You forgot the Lord. He wants to. And if you're having problems with anxiety and stress, I've heard so much stuff. Oh, yeah. Nobody lives a stress-free life. Well, you just need to get rid of stress out of your life. What? You're going to just live in a hammock for the rest of your life? Life is stress. There's a curse, right? Out of the sweat of thy brow, thou shalt bring. We're a cursed people living on a cursed earth. So I prefer to say it this way. Stress-free? No. I think you need to start living with the Lord and letting God help you so you could get some rest and you could have a more peaceful life. Why? How could you get tired? How could people get tired? Remember, I do see people are tired. I know what it's like to look at a Christian, and I think, I wonder if this is the last time they're seeing that through. I've seen people. I remember one guy at one church. I remember going, I think, and it wasn't because I didn't want him there, because he was getting ready to quit, and he did. He quit. Well, before he quit, he got tired. He could just never understand that relationship you get when he saves you. Now, whether you let him help you or not, that's up to you. He never stops loving you glad. So what would cause somebody to get tired? Taking your eyes off of the Lord, forgetting the Lord. Go to Psalm 119, verse 55. This kind of goes back a little bit to the forgiveness part, but it just needs to be. Psalm 119, verse 165. Psalm 119, the largest chapter in the Bible, right in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 119, look at verse 155. It's good to mark and think about. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. God tells me, if I'll just love his word, you'll never get under my... There's nothing you stop me if I'll just love God's word. Do you know why people get offended? Well, I just can't believe they said this, and I just can't believe they did this. And do you know what they did? I watched 3 years ago. Yeah, somebody said that very thing. We had Dr. Anderson here, and he made one statement to somebody in the office. He said, I've never been to that way. He's a businessman. He's not a pastor. Amen? He's a neat Christian businessman. I didn't expect pastoral words of graciousness from him, but the person said, I've never been talked to that way. And they never came to our church. Do you know why they got offended? There was no love for them. But they were here everywhere. There was no love for the book. The more you love God's word, the less you set up a shield around you. It's like this. How can you read? It's just like what I was just talking about forgiveness. How can you read this book and not know people are going to offend you or hurt you or misunderstand you? That's what you get. In other words, I'm dealing with, and if I want a long-term relationship with you, I expect failure, so what? We can keep on going. Amen? And I'm not going to beat you to death with your failure, your shortcomings, or your idiosyncrasies, or all the things I don't like about you. Ongoing, forgive. It all starts with a love for this book. How come somebody could run with their arms down because you lost your love for the book? You need to fall in love with the book. And remember, to fall in love with your Bible is to fall in love. You can't love God without. Let's look at the next thing. Now go back to Hebrews chapter 12. Remember, we're talking about a race. And God says, now that he's taught us in verses 1 through 11, he says, wherefore, Hebrews chapter 12, lift up the hands which hang down, and then the feeble knees. The feeble knee. When you look up the word feeble, it means weak. I've not ever had knee problems, but I know people that have, you know, and the torn ligaments and the surgeries and things like that. So there are weaker knees than others. I understand that. Some people, because of their knees, they can't do a full bend to where their calf touches hamstrings, can only like come this far. The tendon, I understand. There's weaker knees than others. But it's interesting, in a race, you'll notice people with weak knees, they're going to hurt first. So while we're running, God says, look for hands that are hanging down so that you can be a help to them. Look for feeble knees. Look for people with weak knees. And I just thought of a couple of things here. Romans chapter 14, verse 1 says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputation. Him that is weak in the faith, someone that's not grounded in the Bible. Well, amen, somebody had to help me. Then be a help. Then look to be a help to them. When somebody is weak in the faith, Romans 15, verse 1, says a lot of the same thing. Romans 14, 1, Romans 15, 1. Go to Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16, and watch this. How could somebody be, what would give them weak knees? Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Ezekiel chapter 16, probably one of the more graphic chapters in the Bible, where God describes his heartbreak with his people. Look at Ezekiel chapter 16. Look at verse number 25. Ezekiel 16 and verse number 25. Thou hast built thy high places at every head of the way, and hast made thy beauty to be abhorred, and hast opened thy feet to everyone that passed by, and multiplied thy whoredoms. He's talking spiritually here. Thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors, great of flesh, and hast increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. He's talking about Israel. Israel has just turned their back on God over and over again, and God says, this is how you... Look at verse 27. Behold, therefore, I have stretched out my hand over thee, and have diminished thine ordinary food, and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee, the daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way. Thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians, because thou wast unsatiable. Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldst not be satisfied. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan and unto Chaldea, and yet thou hast not wast not satisfied therewith. Watch this. How weak is thy heart? You're so weak. So God says here, look out for feeble knees. And God says, you're so weak. You spend so much time. And this is from the scripture. You run from God so much. Now you don't have any energy to enjoy. Look, if you're saved, you got God living inside of you, you know what's right and wrong. A Bible study helps reinforce, but you can't run from God all the time. And God says, you do this, you do this, you do this. How weak is your heart? You can't hold anything up. You have no load limit. You can't handle any pressure. How weak is your heart? How weak is your heart? God says, look for the weak. Why would somebody do that? They're weak because they can't bear anybody else's load but their own. I realize as a pastor, there's tired people in our church, and they'll always be tired, and they won't be fixed. I understand that. You can only help people that want help. Amen? I know there's weak people in our church. They'll always, it comes with the church. They'll always be weak. They'll never be strong. But there are weak people in our church who could be helped, who would let the Lord help them. That just comes with, everybody in the church isn't strong. Everybody in the church isn't, you know, super perky. There's crippled people in our church. We'll hit that next. They'll always need help, and that's okay. That's okay. They'll never be strong enough to do anything except basic needs for themselves. You have to accept that. But the people that God says we can help grow, that ought to be available in church too, right? So the acceptance from those that are weak and those that are tired and those that are crippled, there should be acceptance. Amen. That's just the way they are. Love them, pray for them, amen. But God is telling us to watch so that those who want help can get help. And if they do have a bad day, they don't feel thrown out or ostracized, right? So a weak person can't care for anybody but themselves. They haven't learned yet to yield and rely upon the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh. Why would somebody be weak? Because they haven't learned yet to yield to them. They don't have God's power. They can only do what they do in their strength. But to do anything extra, that takes what? It takes the Lord, right? They that wait upon the Lord will mount up with wings as eagles. And yet that only happens as you give yourself to the Lord, not when you wallow in your self-pity, okay? Why else? One more thing. Why else would somebody be weak? They are offended easily. They don't forgive quickly. It's because they've chosen not to, not because chosen. That's okay. Last category, we've looked this morning at God says when we're running together, notice the arms that are hanging down. There's tired people. Don't hit them. Don't be mean to pray for them. Amen. Then there's weak people. Their knees, you could say, the knees, like it says in the passage, they're weak. It's okay to be. They should have love from somewhere, and somebody ought to be praying. Amen. Let's look at the last category, crippled. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12, to a place here. Hebrews chapter 12. It says here, verse 13 says, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. I looked up the word lame. It means disabled in the foot or leg, so one can't walk, or limp without help, crippled, which also means unable to move. And I thought, okay, crippled, lest that which is lame be cast aside. These people that, if we don't have any now, we will one day. But when they're crippled, they don't move. That means they don't grow spiritually. They're doing the same thing that they were doing when they got saved 4, 5, 10 years after. They don't move. They're crippled. I do like this thought. If you move and you're crippled, it's because I'll help you. They need help. Did you know that that's what makes a church great in the eyes of the Lord? That's what makes you and me strong. God measures strength didn't Matthew 20 verse 27 says, he that is great among you, let him be your. God measures strength by how much. That's the measure of your Christian, how much you let God, you help someone. That's how, it's not how much Bible you. I've known people that knew a lot of Bible, but I mean, one girl, help us. She was raised in a Christian school. Man, she had Bible memory, and when she got married, she couldn't even take care of the kids. All she could do is just, you know, comb her hair and take care of her Facebook page. She was one of the most blessed people. Saved? Yeah. I was like, you know, you got kids, right? husband took care of all of them. I mean, like she had nothing to do with them. To me, that's a. They can't do anything. They can't be anybody's life. They never reach outside theirs. Lame, can't walk. Why would somebody? Here we go. Let me just describe to you a little bit more here. They won't walk with the Lord without your help. They won't serve the Lord without your help because they're lame or crippled, and they won't grow spiritually without your help. They need to learn what's available to them now that they're saved. Take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You see a lot of funny things as a pastor, but funny, that's because you got to laugh or cry, okay? But I've watched some people. I'll preach a message that's roundabout for them, and you'll watch them during the church service, and they're in la-la land. There's nothing there. I want to go, yoo-hoo, this is for you. And they're nowhere even close. And it's like, okay, well, I hope somebody got something out of it. But I don't use the pulpit as a whipping post, but I do try to address problems, amen, without everybody in the church knowing what problems we're addressing, amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 22. Nay, much more, those members of the body, it's talking about the church, which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Do you know why, though? This morning we've talked about tired, weak, and crippled. And I haven't tried to belittle anybody, but the more needy people our church can help, there's only one reason a needy person would get help, because somebody invested. That's the sign of a church. That's why we call the... Everybody in our church is financial dependent. Well, we're not looking to do that. We're looking to help. We're looking to... And that God says, isn't that interesting? In this church, the most important people are the weak, because they're an opportunity for the rest to express their love and help. Look at the next verse. Look at verse 23. It says, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Look at verse 24. For our comely parts, or the attractive parts, have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part. We were at a church where one of the couples had a Down syndrome baby. And I remember that tragedy, you could say, or hurt, or weakness in our church, pulling, and God used that to help our mother. I remember saying, I thought he would, and I remember saying, our what God could. Now, that's my illustration of saying, how does God view our church? Everybody isn't strong. Everybody, we got tired people. I'm sure there's crippled, but it's all on the hopes that they could, right? It's not to use their wrongs against them. It's not to list their sins every time they come into your presence. It's so you can be encouraged to the Lord. Next verse, we've looked at 22, 23, 24. Look at verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the, watch, same care, one for. That all happens because of, when you look at Hebrews chapter 12, we're in a race. You need to understand chastisement. When you get chastised, it's never something, okay, no child rejoices. Yay, I get to get a spanking, okay? Neither does a Christian. But if you understand God's purpose, why it's happening, you won't quit running. And here it says, now that you're running and you understand we're all headed towards glory, we're waiting for that day when the Lord calls us home, look for arms that are hanging down. Look for that they may be. Look for the feeble knees, weak people, that they may, and make straight paths for your feet, lest the crippled are turned out of the way. The one warning that happens, now let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12. The one warning that happened, watch this, Hebrews chapter 12. I hope you go back and look at this later and think about it. I kept it in the realm of the race. Could you study this by yourself and just this path? I'm sure I've kept it in. We're in a race. Let's be looking to each other, to care for each other and pray for each other and love each other and encouragement each other. Here, look at the warning. God says, verse 15. Well, here, look at verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Don't get involved in their weakness. If they're struggling with drugs, don't do drugs with them. You stay strong. You follow peace and holiness. You keep your walk with the Lord. Give them something. Look, if somebody's struggling sick in quicksand, I can't get in there with them and say, okay, now I'll help you get out. I need to be the one that's not in the quicksand so I can throw them the rope, right? So don't get in the quicksand with them, but you can throw them a rope, and if they'll take it, it's just like, here, let me help you pull you out. So you follow peace and holiness. You keep your walk with the Lord and lift them up in prayer. Watch verse 15. Looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. God wants to give you your grace when you're struggling. God wants to give you His grace when He spanks you. God wants to give you His grace when we struggle. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us come to the throne of grace so we may obtain mercy in time of need. God wants to help you, but you don't have to take God's help. If any of you fail of the grace of God, guess what happens? You'll either take God's help, or what's the last part of the verse say? It says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby many defiled. You'll either accept God's help or you get bitter. You know what bitterness is? So the warning is, if you see somebody that's struggling, pray for, help them, be an encouragement. Sometimes all you can do is pray. But you say, well, what am I praying? Lord, please help them accept your... Lord, please work in their life. If they don't get your help with this, it's on. And then many defiled. Look at the next verse. This is an example. Verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. This is a study on the life of Esau. And what happened when he got angry at his dad and angry at his brother? He became the Bible plainly says, an immoral person. Let's back up to verse 12. If a Christian is weak, tired, or crippled, and they don't accept God's help, they will eventually get wrapped up in immorality. That's the context, right? Lest we want them. Church is supposed to be a hospital. Everybody wants to, I don't have a problem. I think when we come to church, we should put on our best. If you meet me for the first time, it's like, well, I'm just a jerk and that's the way I am because what you see is what you get. Okay, but you could do better than that. Amen. You can treat people nice. But if we understood while we're in the race, all of us are going to have times of struggle. Don't hurt each other. Pray for each other. The consequences are bad. When somebody quits God, they begin a fight with the Lord for the rest of their life. It spirals down. It goes nowhere good. That's why when we watch a Christian quit, it hurts. Well, my life's none of their business. No, but when you're coming to church, you're an encouragement to somebody, and you quit coming to church, it hurts. There were people that were, well, I shouldn't. Okay, if I quit coming to church, would it bug you? I hope it would. Well, you're the pastor. But I run on the same grace, and I've watched they get to say, I've watched quit. I'm just saying nobody's exempt from it. So since we're in a race, I wanted to draw attention this morning. See, you could say this was a round back door truth to loving properly. Properly. Spend enough time with somebody, you're going to find out their faults. Don't use their wrong and hurt them. Encourage them. Except, well, I knew they had some. Amen. I knew you had at least one. I'm praying. Amen. And some you may not even need to tell that you're praying for. We ought to be encouraging each other. I hope that. Father, thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Please, Lord, you've told us.